We are currently studying Paul's first letter to Timothy, and we read there at the 6th chapter from verse 11, Paul's closing instructions to the young man Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. But as for you, O man of God, shun all this. He's been speaking about the lust for money. Shun all this. Aim at righteousness, godliness, faith and love, and steadfastness and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the presence of God who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. I charge you to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this will be made manifest at the proper time by the blessed and only Sovereign, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Verse 20. O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. Avoid the godless chatter and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, for by professing it, some have missed the mark as regards the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his own word. To his name be the honor and the praise. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and at verse 20, these words of Paul. O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. Guard what has been entrusted to you. And Paul goes on in the second half of that verse to suggest a very practical way in which Christians can guard what has been entrusted to them, or as the Greek says, to guard the deposit. We are to avoid the godless chatter and the contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Now, that's not the first time that Paul speaks about godless chatter. For example, in chapter 4 and verse 7, he speaks about the need for Christians to turn away from godless and silly myths, that's to say, fairy stories, or religious fables, or religious inventions from men's imaginations. We are, as Christians, to turn away from godless and silly myths. And later on in 2 Timothy, he again hammers this point home. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 16, he says that Christians are to avoid godless chatter, for it will lead people more and more into ungodliness. And scholars tend to think that when Paul speaks about godless chatter and knowledge falsely so-called, the scholars tend to think that he's speaking of the various sects that sprang up fairly early on in the Christian church, sects that set themselves up in opposition to the gospel message, and is so often the way with breakaway sects, the leaders were claiming special knowledge and special revelations from God. And these sects were claiming to have a monopoly of Christian truth, godless chatter and false knowledge. And I suppose that the modern equivalents in the 20th century of the godless chatter and the false knowledge groups would be sects such as the Moonies, with their absolute claims and their basic assertion that Jesus Christ was a failure. His life was a failure, and his death proclaimed him to be a failure. He's not the second Adam. It's Kyung Bae Moon in the United States who is the second Adam. Godless chatter and false knowledge. And along with the godless chatter and the false knowledge of the Moonies, you can put the extravagant and the unbiblical claims of the Mormons. You can put the Jehovah's Witnesses with their long history of arrogance and intolerance. You can put the Children of God, the Children of Light, and all these other sects that set themselves up in opposition to the gospel. Godless chatter and false knowledge. And one way of guarding what has been entrusted to us is to turn away from all of that. We are deliberately to abhor the godless chatter and the false knowledge of the sects and the cults. And something of the urgency of this matter on Christians is seen in the fact that Paul mentions this duty three times to the boy Timothy. In here, this verse, O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, he says, I am sure that God is able to guard what has been entrusted to me. And later on, in verse 14 of 2 Timothy 1, O Timothy, guard the truth that has been entrusted to you by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. And that is a burden that lies on every living Christian. It is our duty to guard and to protect what God has entrusted to us. And I'd like to suggest to you this morning that there are two very vivid images in this verse. The first is from the world of banking. We are to guard the deposit. We are to guard what God has entrusted to us. Now, I think it's fairly well known that banks, as we know them, did not exist in the ancient world. People just did not go to special institutions to bank their money. If you wanted to make a little bit of money, you could take your money to the money lender, who would keep it for a wee while and give you some interest, but banks, as we know them, did not exist. Well, what did people do with their money? They buried it. Sometimes in a field. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which when a man has found and covered it up, then in his joy he sells everything he has and buys that field. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. And Jesus' hearers would have known perfectly well what he was speaking about. He was speaking about treasure trove. Here was a man who wanted to keep his money, and so he buried it. Maybe he died. Maybe he forgot to tell anyone where the money was. Maybe he went senile and forgot where his money was. But there was the treasure hidden in the field. Or if you didn't put your money into a field, then you hid it in the wall of your house. That's where people kept money. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break through and steal." Now, they're not breaking into the house. They're breaking into the wall where you kept your money. "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consume, nor thieves break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And the idea of this imagery is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is a rich treasure. It is a precious thing. The good news of Jesus Christ is a precious thing. And therefore, Christians have to cherish it and care for it and defend it against those who would like to come in from the outside and steal this precious treasure that we have from God. There are people who would like to come into the treasure house and change the truth or water it down or modify the truth to suit their own tastes. And that is why we must guard the treasure. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." And it is our Christian duty to guard what God has entrusted to us. We are to be guardians of the bank of gospel truth. And when anyone comes near to steal the message, like the Moonies, or the Mormons, or the children of God, or the children of light, or the Jehovah's Witnesses, all of whom have broken into the gospel bank and taken little bits and pieces and twisted them for their own ends, we are to guard the deposit of gospel truth as if it were treasure in a vault. The second image here is that of a soldier on guard. And I'm inclined to believe that this is the image that Paul wants us to have in mind. You may recall that Timothy was a young man. He was the product of a divided marriage because his mother was a Christian and his father was a pagan. And therefore, there was tension in the home, and there was tension in the marriage, because the mother's heart was Christian, and the father's heart was heathenish and pagan. And perhaps that's why Timothy grew up to be a very timid person, a very nervous, frightened, fearful sort of chap. And this is why Paul's always telling him to stand up and play the man. Stand up and be counted. Stand up and be a soldier, man. Stand up, Timothy. Stand up and grow up. 1 Timothy 1:18. Wage the good warfare. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of the faith. 2 Timothy 1:7. O Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power. 2 Timothy 2. Oh, Timothy, share in sufferings as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier on service gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since it is his aim to satisfy the one who has enlisted him. The challenge to be a soldier, the challenge to stand up and be a man for Christ. And the imagery here is of a soldier on guard. And it's his duty to guard the ammunition, the arms dump. He's not so much called on to go out and fight. There's time for that. There's a place for that. There's a time to go out and fight. And there's a time to stay at home and guard the ammunition. We are to guard what God has entrusted to us. And Christian history tells us of the terrible things that happen to churches when Christians fail to guard the ammunition. I'm very intrigued by the question, why do some churches die? Why do some churches tend to go down and fizzle out? Why is it that there are so many churches in Scotland today that were alive 50 years ago, 100 years ago, the ministers were alive, the elders were alive, the people in the pews were alive, you had to queue to get in? Why is it that there are so many churches like that in Scotland today that have died? Professor Findlayson of the Free Church says that the disruption church of 1843, the Free Church of the disruption of 1843, was dead within 30 years. Why did the work of Thomas Erskine and the original secession church die? He was a great man. Why did the United Presbyterian Church, the UP, which was the most vital church in Scotland last century, why had it died by the year 1900? Why is Samuel Rutherford's church on the Solway closed? What has happened to Thomas Boston's kirk in Ettrick on the Borders? Or Horatius Bonar's church in Glasgow, in Finiston Square? It's just a mausoleum. I'll tell you what has happened. The soldiers failed to guard the ammunition. Tell me, if I were to die quite soon, what sort of man would you like to replace me? Some of you say, well, I think we should have more of that sort of thing. I think we should have another evangelical man. It's the only sort of thing that's working in Scotland today. The other places are dying on their feet. Yes, I think we'll have some more of that sort of thing. But I'm sure there are some here who would say, well, I think we've just had enough of that religion and spirituality and Bible thumping and gospel and conversion and all that sort of stuff. I think we should have a change now. And supposing that group won, could you imagine what this place would be like in 20 years? And at the end of that 20 years, what would the next vacancy committee want? And at the end of another 20 years, what would the next vacancy committee want? You see, if soldiers don't guard the ammunition, the war will be lost. And it is our Christian duty to guard what God has entrusted to us. And the call is to any who are prepared to become the soldiers of the cross and the soldiers of the Lamb, not just to fight the good fight of the faith, that's important, becoming a prayer warrior, that was last week, not just that, but guarding when God has entrusted to us the ammunition of the gospel, the faith once delivered to the saints. O Timothy, guard the truth that has been entrusted to you. And we are to watch for its preservation and for its safety. Watch as if on that alone hung the issue of the day. Pray that help may be sent down. Watch and pray. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the preaching of the word.